BagelLovers.net with the one and only Isham the Unholy, the creator of the Wicked Shit. How would you describe acid rap and Wicked Shit to a first-time listener?
Well, how I would describe it, it's like an LSD trip, you know. For those who have never taken LSD, it would be a crazy experience, you know, if you never took LSD before. But if you've taken LSD and you're familiar with it, it might even be a good, wonderful trip or experience or whatnot. You know, that's how I would describe it. We try to get real heavy bass lines, and, you know, we use all different kinds of music, you know, as far as, you know, rap, rock, you know, jazz. We've infused every kind of music into one form of music, which is acid rap. You know, we've taken a little bit of everything and put it into a gumbo, and, you know, that's kind of like how I would describe it, like a musical LSD gumbo.
Oh, so, wow, that's a great way to introduce that. I like that concept. I've never did LSD before, so that's interesting way to
put it. I mean, you know, it's not something that I recommend for everybody, you know, because, you know, just like the music, you know, LSD, you know, to each person that's taking it, you know, you might experience something different, you know, for everyone that, you know, experiences the wonder that is that drug, just like the wonder that is the Wicked Shit, you might experience something different every time you listen to it. So, you know, that's what that whole ideal or concept was about, with the whole, you know, acid rap, the Wicked Shit type of, you know, sound or whatever.
Well, thank you for breaking that down. And the EP collection just dropped. And for those that may not be familiar with the term EP, and can you break that down for us? You know, what exactly is an EP and why you decided to release an EP in the first place in between each album?
Well, EP, back in the day, you know, before CDs, you know, EP stood for extended play. And it was almost like a pre-show or a precursor to an album. So, you know, you would put out an EP before the release of your album. So you would put out, you know, maybe your single would be on that EP, and then you would put other songs that was not included on the album on this EP, on this extended play. So that's where that whole thing comes from. And we put out four particular EPs over the course of, you know, throughout my career. And that was Homie Don't Play, Erotic Poetry, Maggot Brain, and Helter Skelter. So, you know, that's what EPs are, extended plays. And each EP was introducing a album that was set to come out, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, I like the Homie one, and I really like Erotic Poetry. All of them are good, man. Helter Skelter, too. And what are some lesser-known stories behind each EP that people haven't heard before or it's a very rare story?
Well, around 91, or 1990, 91, when we made the Homie Don't Play, when we were making the Homie Don't Play cover, and when we was doing the whole concept to the record, which was the whole clown concept, we the particular car that I'm in on the album cover to Homie the Clown was my first vehicle, and it was a 1963 Ford Mercury Monterey, and that was the very first vehicle that I ever owned in my life. And I believe I paid maybe $1,100 for that car. It was an old school, it was a classic, and I drove that thing everywhere. And my grandfather happened to give me $100 to help me get the car, you know what I'm saying, because I think I was $100 short. And he never let me live it down. I think he lived to be 85 years old, and I think he always asked me about that $100 in a joking manner, but he wanted it back, though. But I never forgot that, you know, I thought that was cool that my grandfather helped me get that particular car for, you know, it wasn't for the album cover, but it was my first car, and that was, you know, it happened to be on the album cover, so that's what that was about. And, you know, yeah, I mean, that's just some little fun fact behind the scenes. And actually, when we was doing the album cover to Homie Don't Play, it was maybe like four or five of us that was dressed up like clowns. I mean, TNT was one of the guys, my cousin B, a couple other guys from my neighborhood. We all was kind of like dressed up. And the picture that I took was actually the only one that we used. And we had some other photos, but, just like everything else, I mean, they got lost and just, you know, time. As time goes on, you know, stuff gets misplaced. But it was maybe like four or five other guys that was dressed up like that. I wish I could find some of the photos, and maybe one day one of them will turn up somewhere. But, you know, it would be fun to see if I can find some of that stuff.
Yeah, especially seeing your whole crew in clown paint.
It was just funny. It was like, you know, just before anybody adapted that whole format, you know, to their concept, and just, you know, help, you know, this genre of music continue to grow.
Yeah, and then, erotic poetry, you know, I'm surprised that it wasn't more of a pornographic cover, you know, but I guess, you know.
Well, I mean, it wasn't really about porno, even though there was sex rhymes and stuff like that, but that was way back in the day, even before people were doing videos and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, friendly, you had to put in stores, more friendly.
I mean, pretty much, it was more like, you know, that was just me, once again, just doing, like, sex rhymes and really finding myself as an artist and trying to, just get my styles together, you know. So that's what erotic poetry was all about.
Yeah, Helter Skelter, what was the main inspiration behind that?
Helter Skelter was just basically about, you know, it was a police brutality going on in Detroit at the time. I think Nyles Green had just gotten beaten by the police to death. And it was just a lot of, you know, unrest with police and police brutality. And that record was basically kind of about those type of social situations at the time, you know what I mean, and inside the community and worldwide, you know. It was just a situation with the police, like it always been a situation with the police. And, you know, that's what Helter Skelter was always really about. It's just like a code name for, you know, police brutality or just some fucked up social situation with some Helter Skelter shit. And, you know, that's what that whole thing was about. And Detroit and Devil's Night and all of that crazy stuff that was going on back in the day.
Yeah, so it was definitely a message you had to drop, you know, because of all that stuff going on. Wow, it's pretty deep, man. Closed Casket, you know, the production's unique and beyond original, man. Can you explain how you came up with the darker style of beats for Closed Casket? I mean, and what exactly was your frame of mind at the time?
Closed Casket, it was, you know, that particular record was about, I wouldn't say stop the wicked shit, you know what I'm saying? But almost like it was like a pot bubbling over, you know, so to speak, of wickedness that I was trying to put a lid on. You know what I'm saying? It bubbled over, you know. There was no way to close it. I was, you know, they say I'm the one who created the wicked shit and opened up the hell's doors. So, in fact, I was trying to close it back, you know what I mean, with this record, you know. I was like, well, this is it. This is the wicked shit. I'm going to close this casket on it. I hope no one ever opens this again, or, you know, I hope I can seal this up. And that was my thought when making the record. And it just turned into just some dark imagery and just some darkness, man. You know, but that was all created from real life situations, things I heard, you know, watching the news, or, you know, just reflecting, you know, the things that were going on in 1994 at the time in my city, Detroit.
Well, yeah, I'm originally from Flint, so I feel you.
I mean, so you already know. So it was just, you know, even in them times back in Flint, like the whole Michigan, you know, it was just, you know, it was not as rough as it is now, but it was still some trying times with just the social unrest with the police and, you know, just with just the inequalities in life, I would say. So, I mean, that's where Closed Casket came from. And then a lot of young people was dying from gang violence and just violence, you know, black-on-black violence, just violence against each other. And it was about if you go to a funeral and someone has a closed casket, 9 times out of 10, you know, it was like, you know, something happened to their body where, you know, their body couldn't be viewed anymore. Like, you know, it had to be a closed casket. It was something horrible happened. So in a way, making that record, or I was trying to prevent a lot of, deaths and things of that nature. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, you listen to the closed casket and this is what can happen to you. This is what can get you in a casket. You feel what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
So that I was trying to, preventative measures, so to speak. You know, that was my frame of mind when making that album. And, you know, I wanted to keep it to the wicked shit, so it all sound dark and real heavy, you know. So
it's probably the darkest to date, man, for real. I think it is.
I think so. I mean, I've been listening to it lately because, you know, we just, you know, did some things. But, yeah, it's one of my favorites, so, yeah.
You paint a very vivid picture for My Homie Got Shot. When you know, you can close your eyes and listen to it, and it's like you're inside the song itself, man. Is the track based on a true story? I mean, can we get into that?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of stories, and a lot of people that I know have relatives, friends of mine, and everybody knows somebody that has been shot, you know, and it's sad to say that. I think, you know, 9 out of 10 people know somebody that's been shot, you know, a victim of gun violence, you know what I'm saying? So it's based on a true story, you know what I mean? I got cousins, family members, my own family members that have been shot, and, you know, some even killed and victims of gun violence. So I would say in that sense it's based on a true story, you know, because, you know, once again, you know, we all got somebody that we know that have been, you know, shot, a victim of gun violence. And that's really what the song is about. You know, it was about, you know, somebody disrespecting somebody else and one of the people getting mad and coming back and shooting somebody else, you know. And it's just, you know, this is what's happening on the streets, you know. This is what's happening today, and this is what happened in the past, you know. So, yeah, My Homie Got Shot was based on a true story. It's still based on a true story because, you know, people still get shot.
Yeah, it's just one of those tracks that just hit you right away where you're like, whoa, you know, you just, your wordplay, man, it's so creative. And
you know, you got to realize this was 1994, and when we made that particular record, I think I recorded that on an A-track. So there was no Pro Tools, or there was no, you know, copy and paste, or it wasn't really easy to do what is being done on these records once again. Like, you know, this was not a digital thing. All this stuff is coming through analog. That's why it sounds like that. So, you know, this was before digital. And, you know, before the help of modern technology, which we all come to love so much. So,
yeah. Yeah, for real. Everybody takes advantage of it, too. They don't realize how hard it was back in the day.
Exactly, Chad.
Did you mentally picture your own death and funeral and write in the track Closed Casket?
No. I mean, actually not. I never, when I was making the record Closed Casket, writing a song Closed Casket, I never was thinking about the closed casket as being my casket that was closed. I pictured it always as being someone else's casket that I was looking at. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Closed casket is not about my funeral. It's about the many funerals that have happened and the many funerals that will happen. You know what I'm saying? It's about the, you know, the violence in the street, you know? It's about, you know, children being murdered and their caskets having to be closed caskets, you know, from, you know, sustaining injuries where, you know, their family members can't view their bodies. You know, I was trying to paint a dark picture in order to shed some light on the subject. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
What it was about. I never thought about it as being my death or my casket. It was always, you know, me telling somebody else's or reading somebody else's eulogy, so to speak.
Yeah, and from where did you sample the eulogy from inside that?
Oh, the eulogy, you know, not exactly, you know, it's not a sample. I played all those tracks on the eulogy. That's the original track, original produced track by Eshawn. But the talking in there, that's Richard Pryor. That's off of Richard Pryor's record. And it's a record called That Nigger's Crazy, N-I-G-G-E-R, That Nigger's Crazy. And I think that record went to number one in Billboard when it first came out. So that's where that talking comes from, Richard Pryor, that's who that is. And that's making me scratch with Richard Pryor.
It fits the album, you know, and it brings it to it.
No doubt. Richard Pryor was a great comedian, man. I always try to inject comedy in dark situations to lighten up the mood, too. So, I mean, even though he was speaking about some heavy subjects, it was actually, you know, supposed to be taken lightly and despite of his dark nature, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah
shout out to Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor. Oh, man, especially his comedy stuff. And then,
that's right.
What inspired the cover art, you know?
What inspired the cover art for Closed Casket back in 1994? Yes, it's supposed to be like a casket on fire, but it's not. It's actually like some roses laid out and looking like a cross. And back in these days, now, you got to remember, like, Kinko's was still around, you know what I mean? There was no computers and all this shit. Like, people didn't just have this shit in their house, you know what I mean? Like, you had to actually go to a fucking Kinko's to make some copies of something or anything, you know? And there was no fucking Photoshop or no photo buckets and no endless, you know, supply of images. You know what I'm saying? No. Like, there was no image, you know, photo bucket. You couldn't go and just be like, yeah, I need some fire, right? So in order to get that fire on there, we had to actually set that shit on fire. So we had to set the roses on fire on top of something and then take a picture of it.
Wow.
So we have real roses burning with real fire. That's so it looked like that. That's why it looked like real fire. Because even back in 1994, the people's graphic game wasn't on point. It wasn't up to speed like it is today. So in order to even get that effect like that, we had to actually set that shit on fire and take a picture of it.
Wow, man. That just blew my mind right there. Wow. We have come along.
Well, that's how that was created. And that was, my brother was doing all that. So, yeah, he was, you know, making that artwork, but that's how we did it. You know, it wasn't, there was no, you know, fire, you know, graphic or, you know what I'm saying? You had to actually have that shit or make it or, you know what I'm saying? We couldn't green screen it, you know what I'm saying?
Or
we had
to go on Google Images and type in fire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we had to, make it. So we actually set some shit on fire and took a picture of it, just like we actually had to get, you know, the silkworms that we had from Maggot Brain Theory, you know, they were right there with us. You know, we couldn't find that nowhere, you know.
And then why did you decide to close the casket on the Wicked shit for a brief moment in 94?
Well, I mean, since we had started, you know, by the time 1994 hit, it was so crazy. You know, we was getting a lot of protests from a lot of churches, a lot of you know, city leaders, and just a lot of things were coming down on us real heavy for the music and the content that we was putting out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially with Nodis. So there's a lot of
with all those things, you know. Yeah. So, you know, by the time I was making Closed Casket, it was so heavy, and people was taking the art, and they was misinterpreting the art, and they was misinterpreting us as entertainers. You know what I'm saying? So I was trying to say, well, I'm closing the casket on this. This is just art, you know, because people was coming down so heavy on us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was trying to, you know, in spite of a dark nature, I was trying to bring light to a dark subject. You know what I'm saying? So I was attempting to, you know, right some of the wrongs, so to speak, by saying, yo, look, I'm trying to tell y'all, you know, don't do this. You know what I'm saying? This you'll end up like this. You know what I'm saying? If you do this, you might have a closed casket. But, you know, I mean, Wicked should have never died. You know, even though I don't want wrong to happen in the world, it'll always continue. You know, this is it's out of my hands, even though I could be the most righteous person in the world. You know, it's out of my hands. So I attempted to close the casket, but once again, like I say, the wicked shit will never die.
It'll always gotta go back to your
keep
roots.
Going.
Yeah,
man, and it's not even, it's just the way of the world. It's real life, you know? You know, life is the wicked shit, real life. You know, it's just things happen out here, and will continue to happen.
And, you know,
that's what that was about.
thank you. And you've been remastering, re-releasing a lot of your early works, you know, Booming Works from Hell, Kill the Fetus, and, you know, now the EP collection. Are there plans to release any more remasters?
Oh, hell yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. You know, we've been doing so great with the remastering, and these timeless classics deserve a second listen, you know. The next remastered classic that we have will be Closed Casket. And like I say, all of these things deserve a second listen, because when we recorded these records, they were analog. They were done in analog, and you know, just with the beauty of modern technology, we were able to go back in those records and tweak them and turn everything up and give people a chance to appreciate the magic that's actually happening on those records. You know, it's not Pro Tools and it's not cut and paste. You know, there were turntables, there were things being played live. Like, you know, we couldn't just loop something up. Shit had to be played for 4 minutes or however long the track was. You know what I'm saying? it was a lot of hard work with it. That, you know what I mean? So, you know, these timeless classics deserve a re-listen. So that's why we're remastering them. And yes, we have Closed Casket coming up, and we got a few more surprises that people need to be checking out for coming up in the future.
Yeah, man, I'm excited for that. You know, people, it's Detroit hip hop history, man. You know, people got to find out where it all started. You know, they can't just go to a different artist, like, you know, D12 or something.
I mean, it's all good, man, because, you know, it's all Detroit. And, hey, it all comes back in the end to where it all started. So it's all good.
And, you know, speaking of 1994, you know, ICP is performing Remaster in its entirety on day two of Juggalo Weekend, and you will be performing as well. And, you know, people are, you know, that blew people's lids. People are like, whoa, you know, they were excited because you were on the bill, man. And, you know, have you and ICP officially buried the hatchet?
Well, you know, it's just like anything else, you know. I mean, like, it's business, you know, and business shit happens, you know what I mean? Like, people have disagreements, you know what I mean? And it's just like, a lot of people hear stories, and it's just like a game of phone tag. You know what I mean? By the time it gets back to me, it's not the same story that it is, and people really have no idea what they're talking about. You know what I mean? And really what's going on with the whole situation in a whole. You know what I'm saying? So I would say that, yes, we've all put this behind us because we know that in a greater sense of the art form and what's best for the people and the culture, that we all get along, and we've all been getting along. But it's just business, and it's just like family, man. You have disagreements with your family, and it's nothing. You get over it, and you move on. And I think that's what everybody has done. We're moving on, and we're all just grown men, and we can get along, and we can agree to disagree, and we can still, you know, enjoy the music and the art form all together and celebrate the wicked shit together. And that's what we chose to do. And that's what it is.
Hell yeah to that, man. I'm really looking forward to seeing your set that day. I know it's going to be kick-ass.
Hell yeah, man.
And what are you looking forward to the most about the show, you know? How excited are you?
Oh, man, I'm excited to come back home to Detroit. I haven't been there in a while, and I'm excited to just hang out with my bros and see all the people and have a good time, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited to come bring the wicked shit on February the 20th, you know? And that's actually 2 days before TNT's birthday, RIP, rest in peace to TNT. So I'll be celebrating TNT's birthday, and we'll all be celebrating the wicked shit on those days, man, and that'll be the shit.
Wow. Yeah, shout out to TNT, man. Rest in peace.
No doubt.
Are you planning on working anything with Daniel Jordan, man? Because, like, fans love your guys' work together, from what I've seen in the underground.
I mean, we've done that project with Daniel Jordan. Daniel Jordan's a good friend of mine. I wish him the best. You know, we work with Daniel from time to time. I haven't heard nothing lately, and I haven't talked to him in a minute, but I wish Daniel the best, and if he needs my help on something, I'm always there for Daniel. So I don't know. You know, maybe in the future, who knows?
What is the future of Esham? I mean, what can we expect?
Well, shit, I mean, man, this future, man, we're just doing more shows, back in the studio, just concentrating on some good music and making sure that we get the company up to speed and bringing it to the future where it needs to be. You know what I mean? And shit, just looking for new music and all type of shit, man. Staying very busy, you know? The future is looking very bright. I need some sunglasses. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I can say about it. You know, I mean, I'm very excited about it. You know, we got a lot of things on the plate, man. You know, I don't want to give away too much, but we got a lot of stuff in store, and we appreciate everybody for, you know, supporting us and keeping the Wicked Shit alive and keeping it going, man. And we you know, we're here for the long term. And, you know, we're here to entertain, and like I say, we're just here to, you know, keep the culture alive. Yeah. Keep the Wicked Shit going, man.
You guys are keeping it alive. It's cool that, you know, RLP is back to its fullest, you know, and just kicking ass, man. And I think new fans, you know, of who are discovering your music are finding it too, you know, because you're re-releasing the album.
No doubt. It gives everybody a chance to really just, like I say, take a listen to where this all came from, where it all started, and, you know, and just join the ride, man. Catch the wave. Catch the Wicked Shit wave. You know, it might start at Eshan, but who knows where you end up. You might end up on some ICP. You might end up on some Twisted. Hell, you might even end up on some Tech N9ne. You know what I mean? But it's all a part of the Wicked Shit wave. So, you know what I mean? Doesn't matter how you start or where you end up. Just catch the wave. And it's all about the Wicked Shit, man. You'll never die.
Thank you, Eshan. This was an honor to do, man. I've been wanting to do this interview for a while. And, you know, it's cool we got to work together on this. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your day and doing this, man, like, for real.
No, thank you, Chad, man. I'll do it anytime, man. I appreciate the look, man.